Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Everybody to It's Doomsday Podcast. Today is September 24th, 2023. Time is 3:15 p.m. And sitting down with me today are Phil and Andy from the Matter of Facts Podcast. Right, Andy?
Andrew.
There you go. Andy
sounds too family.
Andy.
It sounds like my mom. Like I'm gonna get yelled at or something.
He'll answer to pretty much anything if you yell it loud enough.
Yeah.
Right. So before we get into what we're going to talk about, tell everybody where they can find the Matter of Facts podcast and what you guys are all about.
Matter of Facts is real simple. It's MOFpodcast.com. You can Google search for Matter of Facts podcast or MOF podcast. We're on the Prepper Broadcast Network. We're on YouTube and Rumble and iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and Mars and Pluto and God only knows where else. Like, we shouldn't be that hard to find.
So what you're saying is it's very hard to find.
I'm saying it is a state secret. You need clearance to find us. Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you this. How do your topics vary on the show? What do you guys like to talk about on the show?
Our topics cover a lot of ground, man. I mean, like, you know, the tagline for the show is Prepping Guns Politics, and that really is, like, very central to me and Andrew's wheelhouse. Like, we're both very rabidly pro-Second Amendment. I am one of those guys that's been the Second Amendment space for a long time, and I scare the hell out of the rest of them because I'm like, yeah, people should have belt-band machine guns as home defense weapons, and I'm the person who makes the others a little uncomfortable because they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. But we're also really prepper-minded. Like, I believe everybody has a responsibility to take care of themselves, take care of your families, and you can't do that if you are wholly dependent upon the grid, the system, the store shelves, the government. Like, you have to take some of this into your own hands and say, sometimes bad stuff happens. When bad stuff happens, I am, by default, the first responder. Do you want to respond well, or do you want to respond poorly? But you're it, because you're in the situation when it happens.
I gotcha.
And politics, I mean, we try not to get into too much, like, partisan nonsense, but
I mean, we look at both sides. I mean, like, Trump, when Trump was in office, I mean, I voted for him, mainly because, I mean, I'm not going to vote Democrat unless that dude is, like, stellar. Kind of in a way, you know, pro-gun and aligns with more of my beliefs. But when Trump came out and was like, hey, we're gonna look at bump stocks and all this other stuff, I mean,
red flag laws,
I mean, we jumped on the stance of how that was actually a bad stance, and we went against him on that. You know, we spoke up against that just like we would any other politician. You know, it's not, yeah, it's How am I trying to word it?
It's not about to us when we talk about politics. It's not from a partisan or a party aspect. It really is more of, like, we have very strict ideals. I think it's both fair to say that we're both kind of small L libertarians.
Yeah,
we would prefer less government, less meddling in the average
a lot
person's
less
life.
Government.
And if a politician takes a position that conflicts with that, we're going to talk about it. If a politician passes a law that we feel like threatens the community we're trying to speak to, we're going to bring that to their attention. But it really is more principle-based. And, you know, the funny thing about being a small libertarian is you can vote for a guy one day and then call him a rotten SOB the very next day because now he's a politician, so now he's not trustworthy. And I think that's what separates the two of us from, like, a lot of shows that dip their toes into politics is that, you know, we are eternally suspicious of government, not because it's the blue government or the red government, because it is government, it is the state, and it is our responsibility as, you know, citizens to be suspicious of our government and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do and not anything they shouldn't be.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so I've gotten in this position lately where, I mean, I don't want any big government at all.
Right.
I don't, period. But I was, like, diehard Republican. That's where I was at for years. And now I'm, like, I've gotten to this weird position where I think both parties are pretty much wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who we put in office. It doesn't matter. The only thing that is successfully happening is Americans are arguing with each other over it, and government is doing whatever the hell they want without question. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it's just a big show. It's a big facade, because the guy that gets in office isn't controlling shit anyway.
Yeah,
it's all over his head.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I've said it on our show multiple times, like, the government...
Are you looking for something kick-ass to add to your closet? Reaper has the hookup for t-shirts, hoodies, button-ups, hats, beanies, and plenty of other badass products. You can check out Reaper Apparel Company at www.reaperapparelco.com and use code DOOM10 for 10% off. Jester only stands behind brands he believes in, and Dan at Reaper Apparel has a mission, and Jester is on board. Go check out www.reaperapparelco.com today and use code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire order. Why be a sheep when you can reap? Use code DOOM10 for 10% off at www.reaperapparelco.com today.
What the hell is the freaking... The saying I'm trying to do, it's
the
basically...
The government's least, governs best.
Well, that, and
two
it's...
Two-winged same bird.
Yeah, that too. But basically, it's the government can control the people once... If the people can't... They a divided populace is easier to control, basically.
Absolutely.
So the ability and the government... the government has... Our government especially, and then they've actually been helping destabilize all over the world. But our government has done a great job over the last, 60 years, 70 years... to destabilize the populace and do talking points and split people up. That's like race. As soon as race became a thing back, years ago, they've done a great job of doing a hard line and splitting the people up. And
there's subliminal messaging everywhere, too.
Yeah,
like left Twix or right Twix.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like there's all this separate, divide. Yeah. Choose this one, choose that one. And they throw this out there all the time.
Yeah.
And this is taught at a very young age in our schools to our kids by organized sports and sports rallies and stuff like that, what they call it, pep rallies, where you go in there and, like, let's hate this other school, let's hate this other team, let's hate them.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you got in this mentality subliminally of, like, picking teams.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys suck and these guys are better. And then we translate that into adulthood of political parties. It's all bullshit.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, it is. And I've taken the stance of where, I mean, if the people could actually just come together and that's the thing is, like, him and I talk a lot about, like, Reddit. I mean, Reddit's a cancer.
Oh, God.
But at the same time, you go online and you actually look at, like, some of, like, the Antifa or, like, the socialist, the communism, stuff like that, or, like, some of the people that are, like, you know, we don't want big government and we don't want the government to take away some of our gun rights. It's like, well, we actually have that. Like, you would actually be surprised besides the end of your belief of communism and socialism and stuff like that. I hardcore disagree with you on that, but I agree. Government should be small. Government should actually have not nearly as control as it should has right now. And them going through and saying, affecting our First Amendment, Second Amendment, I mean, basically our entire Constitution has been shredded. You actually can see eye to eye, but they've been so ingrained and they've been so told to say, no, I have to hate you, that they can't see past that.
Yeah.
And that's the big issue is, like, if we were to come together, just like the gun community, if we could get enough of the gun community to come together, we would actually be unstoppable. But we have too many people like, no, we need gun laws because of this, or hey, because I believe every gun law is an infringement. There should be no gun laws at all. I should be able to go to the store and buy a belt-fed machine gun, just like I can buy a 22 or a loaf of bread. I should be able to go and buy a suppressor over the counter. I shouldn't have to wait 9 months. It's all about control, as far as self-control. So, a well-armed populace is a polite populace. And so that's the thing, though, is like, yeah. And then you get the people saying, well, this person, why should he be able to have a machine gun? Like, well, it's his right. Well, he went and he shot up a school, or he did this and this and this. Well, don't you think that if they had armed guards, if we protected our schools as much as we protected sporting events, our money. I used to work for transport money for a company before.
I used to do that as well.
The amount of security that you have just to get in that building and how you're armed when you carry that money, if we protect our politicians as well as much as our students, our kids,
right.
Like we wouldn't have this many issues. But people, for some reason, they're okay with letting politicians having all the gun, all the amount of people and protection around them. But yet, when it comes to kids. No, we can't. No, we should need to throw a sign up.
I want to like just point out some of this because the audience might not know this, but you know this because you've done that line of work. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're armed and you're transporting that money, a lot of the gun laws do not apply to you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
So you can go. You are authorized to walk into a school with that firearm. You're authorized to walk through the airport with that firearm.
Bank.
If there's a no gun sign on a store, that rule doesn't apply to you. Why? Because you're protecting the money. And that's what it is. And when you put things into a perspective like that, it makes it seem even more shitty, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's just the way it is. So let's get well. So for the audience that's listening, or the listening audience, we are still at Prepper Camp. We're still recording from Prepper Camp. So that's the noise you guys are hearing in the background. And before we keep going down this road, I wanted to talk to you guys about Prepper Camp.
This might be a whole nother show.
Be a whole nother show now. So how many years have you guys been coming here? Consecutively.
This is his sixth year. This is my fifth. I missed last year because of some work and stuff.
I was going to say, I didn't think I met you last year.
Yeah, nope. No, I missed last year's work. So.
Gotcha.
Do you have enough food in your pantry for when disaster strikes? Go to www.readywise.com and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire food order. ReadyWise offers long-term food storage items such as chicken and beef that last up to 15 years. But that's not all. Go to www.readywise.com and use our code DOOM10 for 10% off of organic food as well. Offering chili, pasta, and soups, they have you covered. Did we mention they have fruits? Bananas, blueberries, strawberries, and apples, just to name a few. With many more food options for your home, car, or bug out bag, ReadyWise has your six. Go to www.readywise.com now and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off.
So over your 6 years of being here, what was your coolest experience?
I mean, honestly, it's the coolest experience I have, and it might be the same for Andrew because I have it every single year here. It's when somebody who I have no earthly idea who they are walks up to me and starts talking to me like they know who I am, and I give them that look like, am I supposed to know you, and how bad am I about to feel that I don't know your name?
Right.
And they're like, no, I listen to your podcast, been listening to you for years, and I heard you come to Prepper Camp and I met you here. And it's like, you know, as a content creator who's been, especially one who's been like operating under his full real name for years, and I'm not trying to hide who I am or hide behind a pseudonym, it's kind of interesting to come to an event like this and over and over and over bump into people who tell me they came to Prepper Camp because they heard about it on the podcast. They heard the fireside chats we used to record up the hill, you know, around with our little group of lunatics in the evenings before we were down here in the vendors area. Like, it's interesting to have been part of that gateway drug that got people here in the first place, and seeing how excited they are to come to this event and finally realize, like, you know, when Phil and Andrew talked about all the classes and all the people they met, and now I'm here and I see it. I see what they saw, and I'm so glad I came. But I have that experience every year. I think this year, 4 or 5 times. Matter of fact, I met two guys who are from my home state who I'm going to have to look up after this is over because we might need to have a discussion about mags.
Right?
Yep. Well, I mean, look, it's like I said before, like, we have a huge community of people that know us through the show, and it's heartwarming, and I love it, and I love talking to those men and women every day. But if I need help and you are 10 hours away, there's not only so much you can do for me. So, like, this has been kind of, I guess, kind of my payback for 7 years of putting my face on the internet and 6 years of coming out to this event is now I'm finally in a position where I'm meeting people who I can knit together into that local support group who I know and they know we are of like mind because we are all into the same things.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. You and I have been recording for about, like, yeah, seven years. And I still find it weird that people listen. like this weekend, we had a lot of people, like, going from our first year doing this to now my fifth year, The people that walk up and is like, hey man, like, we heard you, this, we're here because you guys mentioned it, so we want to check it out. And I'm like, you listen to the show? Yeah, well, cool, thank you, but I'm really surprised you slipped.
And when people like, say that, it's like, you really don't, you want to say thank you, but yeah, it's like a weird thing.
It just feels weird. Yeah, I don't, I feel weird. I feel like, I'm just a dude behind a mic that...
I feel like you need to hand him a dollar or
something. I know, right? I'm like, I'm sorry, I should pay you. Like, I should pay you for your trouble. Okay, what episode was it? Oh, and that was an hour and 5 minutes. Here's $20. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
How much pain and suffering do I owe you for?
Right.
It feels weird, but it's it's humbling because it's what him and I have been trying to build for, you know, the last 7 years. But, yeah, just meeting people. I mean, like I said, 5 years... The first year, I hit classes hard, went to, like, all 3 days, did classes. After that, I might hit one or two, but it's more networking. I find myself walking around the vendor area. I might sit in a class for a few minutes, or I might maybe try to catch an entire class if it's really interesting. But it's all about, to me, Prepper Camp is all about this. Sitting down and meeting guys like you. Meeting guys and meeting all kinds of people that are like-minded. That's why I'm a big proponent for firearms classes, because it's just fun going to those classes and meeting like-minded individuals. And you're taking your circle, and yeah, I live 12 hours from, or actually more than that, from him. I'm up in Michigan. But at the same time, it's just, you know, it's like at the end of the day, you go back to your home state, I go back to mine, but we built that connection. So next year, it's like I see you, and it's just like, oh man, how you doing? How's the kids? How's the family?
Right,
how's,
exactly.
Like, how's work? How is the? And it's a catch up. And I've said it multiple times. We've said it multiple times that this event is like a family reunion, to where like up on the hill. So we camp up on the hill, and we do. We do usually at night. We'll get a group of people together. And the first night, the first year we had it, we had like 7 people. Last night, I think I counted like 25 people.
Oh, wow.
Just like standing around, different groups of people, just standing around talking around the bonfire. And like just BSing. And just having a fun time. Passing whiskey around, drinking, you know, just drinking and having fun. And that's, to my knowledge, that's the largest it's been. But
I know Rick has made the comment that, like, as he's gone through and looked around, and he said there is no other, there are a couple of other smaller gatherings, but he said there is no other group out here that will mob up at one or two campsites like we do and have that many people. Because, I mean, we've got the two
man,
of us.
Man, the wrong spot.
But you got, like, the two of us. You've got people that came up to see us, people that they heard about Prepper Camp, and then they just bumped into us and were like, oh, can we come hang out? And it's like,
yeah,
all, all the PBN crew, a couple of vendors showed up that we were talking to yesterday. And, you know, I mean, we just try to be hospitable and try to knit that group together and just get people talking and getting to know each other.
Yeah, and that's what Prepper Camp is you're building that mutual assistance group across the United States. Not like you should have one in your hometown of people, but I like knowing that, like, when I make that connection and I pass numbers and we store that number in our phones, I know where that person lives, at least what state they're in. I know, like, if I'm traveling across the U.S. somewhere, I know I could, hey, man, like, call somebody, and be like, hey, you know, hey, I'm stuck in this town. I'm stuck in whatever happens, but I'm stuck. Hey, can I, you know, is there any way that you can help me? Is there a place I can crash, or is there a place that you recommend for tire service? Dude, whatever it is.
Fire is one of the most basic essentials for survival. Whether you're camping, hiking, or preparing for disaster, Blackbeard has your six. Go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase. Blackbeard offers stormproof matches, plasma arc lighters, fire starters, and ferro rods, all of which are great for your bug out bag. Once again, go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase.
You're making that connection, you're making that contact in that location. And that, to me, that's big. You're making that, and to me, there should be multiple mutual assistance groups. So you have your local mutual assistance group, your MAG, and then you have your nationwide. And you could even go smaller and go your local, like, town, then you could have your state, and then you could have, you know, have multiple state to have, you know, United States of your group, to where I can call and, hey, what can I do this? But that's what Prepper Camp is.
So I'll tell you what, like, to go back a little bit, how you mentioned, like, people introducing us as like, hey, what's up? I listened to the show, blah, blah, blah. last year was the first in-person thing I've ever done and had the same experience.
Did you?
And like you said, very humbling. Mm-hmm. And then it happened again this year, right? And like, and I'm seeing it, like, kind of freaked me out a little bit. This man comes up to me and he's with his kid and he was like, oh, he was so excited when he came in here talking about his son. He's like, look, that's the guy. That's the guy. He's like, yeah, we listened to you on the way. And I'm like, you're letting your kid listen to the show? What's wrong with you? Yeah. He's probably listening to this on his way home right now. Like, yeah, maybe I ought to turn this off.
Right, yeah.
But no, just those cool experiences are what it's about. And like I loved him. He was the first person I saw when I walked in. It was Tool Man Tim. And just big hug, awesome guy.
Want to be a guest on the show? Email itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com.
He and I have done some things online together, but I don't even know how to describe it. Like you said, it's like a big family reunion. I guess that's the best kind of way to put it. I'll be continuously coming back just for the people, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's great. So we are, we got a little bit of time left here. If you want to throw out any big messages to the listeners, something they need to know, prepper related, a big, anything, whatever you want.
Well, I mean, I would just say that if you're listening to this and you're already in the mindset, now your challenge is to drag other people kicking and screaming to it. Because, like, I've been in the position of being the only person in my family who was of this mindset. And, you know, I ate it. I took the responsibility upon myself, like my wife and my child. If they're not going to help, this has got to be done because this is for their benefit. But I cannot emphasize to you how important it is to get your family on board with prepping. Like, meet your spouse where they are, meet your kids where they are, whatever their lane is, whatever they can do, whatever they're able to, whatever their interest is. Like, my wife, she is not going to be a door-kicking CQB operator. It's not going to happen. If you need somebody to deer hunt, don't piss her off within 300 yards of her if she's got a rifle in her hands. If you need somebody to go out and forage for mushrooms or find natural herbs or medicines and stuff like that from the forest, she's your girl. You need somebody that is really good at, like, emotional counseling, is somebody that is a natural-born teacher, because that's what she does by trade. She teaches K-7. Any of those kind of things, she's your lady. There are parts of her wheelhouse that fit perfectly into prepping, and that's where I use her, and that's where I depend on her. When we look at our home food stock, I'm the beans and rice guy. Like, you know, get the staples, get the thing done. I don't care if it tastes good because I'm a guy and that's just the way I'm wired. And my wife is one that says, hey, dummy, if you think we're going to go through the apocalypse without chocolate and cookies, you got another thing coming. So now I have a baking bucket. I have a 5-gallon bucket with flour and cornmeal and sugar and baking powder. And I've got eggs that are freaking all, you know, portioned up in the deep freezer. Because if push comes shove and it's a bad day and those girls want chocolate chip cookies, they're getting chocolate chip cookies so that they have a better day. She's the one that reminds me that survival is more than just living through the emergency. It's thriving in it. It's your emotional health. It's your emotional well-being. It's learning to decompress. It's all these things that she's a lot smarter than I am about. I'm a moron when it comes to emotions. But by bringing your spouse into this and meeting him or her where they are, and the same thing with your kids, you can turn from that one prepper in the family to a whole family of survival-minded people, and then you can start grabbing other families,
right,
reaching out to, like, your kid's friends and their parents, and tickling the keys and seeing if they might be interested in this mindset too, and you spread it out. Like, to me, this is not just a family reunion. This is like coming to church. I go home and I proselytize to people. I go home charged up with new ideas and new information, and I say, hey, I don't think you're like a crazy tinfoil hat guy like I am, but this is something you might want to look into. It might help your family out. So that's the only thing I can say to other people is that, like, if you're listening to this, I have to think you're already prepper-minded. But you can't be the only prepper. You have to try to spread this out, and sometimes that means you got to put yourself out there.
Right, no, I agree, and I go back and forth with my wife all the time, like, hey, I want to buy this, no, that's stupid, don't do that, and we'll go back and forth all the time, but she's the one that kind of keeps things level-headed. Like, if I want to buy something specific, like I was talking to her about getting one of these solar panels, she tells me, she goes, you could make a fire, what do you need that for? And I was like, because then I wouldn't have to make a fire. She goes, well, it doesn't matter, we'll figure out a way to cook, like, you don't need it. She's really trying to talk me out of buying something, but I'm trying to justify it, but she's like, look, we'll make it work. We don't need it. Like, that's how she is. And she's at the point with me, though, where it's, you've got way too much stuff. It's filling up every corner of the house. You cannot buy more stuff, right? But every once in a while, I feel like I get a little bit of leeway, and it's like, hey, let's go down to the store and buy, like, a few cases of cocktail fruit cans so I could throw those in the food stocks, right? And she, like, sometimes, like, oh, yeah, sure, that's a good deal. Let's go do it. But it's very hit or miss. Shit, it's the fan tomorrow. I'm like, what are you going to bring to the table? Like, that's where my mind was. But then when COVID hit and we were all stuck, guess who all of a sudden is like this awesome bread maker and doing all this stuff? And I'm like scratching my head like, I didn't think you had this all in you.
Where did this come from?
Yeah, where did this come from? So she does have the survival mindset, but it's not in the sense that I'm like, shit's coming tomorrow. We need to be ready. We need to buy more shit. We need to do more shit. I need to get this well done. I need to do all these things. She's like, no, we'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
Yeah. And and like I said, there are certain aspects of prepping that, like, my wife and I, most of the time she's willing to say, if we can afford it and it's not going to make us homeless, then okay. She trusts me to make a lot of those decisions. But, like, there are things that I try to get her to be involved in because I need her involved in them. And sometimes I have to kind of meet her where she's at. And, like, I feel like that's the part where a lot of, let's call it what it is, this is mostly a male-dominated space. I wish it wasn't, and it's turning to be more of a 50-50.
Yeah, it is.
But so long as it is mostly male-dominated, I'm going to play to the stereotype. But, like, men out there, if your wife is not prepper-minded, you're pushing a rope. If you try to get her to do stuff that she's not willing to do, you're better off finding out where her interest is, where her wheelhouse is, and then that's where you go to. That's where you meet her. And that becomes the gateway drug. Like, for my wife, what really bought her into this, what really bought her into this heart was COVID. And then when we started talking about the food stock, she's all in. She's all into that. She's interested because she likes to eat. We all do. We're not going to be, you know, we don't want to starve. When we start talking about, like, things we need to stock up on at the house, feminine products, we got a daughter. She's a lady too. Things that are comfort items, she's all about that. So I always try to play to her strengths whenever I try to get her to indulge in something in this lifestyle, because I find it's less difficult and it's more productive.
See, and I feel like, too, like, my wife was really anti, like, the last year when I came, she was really anti this event. Like, why are you putting out all this money? Why are you going? Why are you doing the show there? This all seems like a stupid waste of time. Then she came out and started meeting the people. She's like, oh, these are some great people. Like, this is good. And I'm like, finally, thankfully, I was like, I'm going back next year.
Like, you took that as the okay as I'm going back.
I took that as the okay of, you know, it's not horribly far away. If I could keep making it a little bit cheaper to come every year, she'll be okay with it. And I got her on the phone last night. I talked her ear off about, like, the whole day and what everything went on and new people I met and blah, blah, blah. And she is just like, yeah, it's not as exciting to her, you know. But I think she mainly lets me do this because she sees it makes me happy, right? So there's that, but also she's Greek, and they don't prep in Greece because they have an already self-sustainable lifestyle. Everybody's got a solar water heater. Everybody has a well. There's a spring in every town, right? Like a piped-in spring where you go get your drinking water. Everybody's got chickens. Everybody has a garden. Everybody cans. Everybody has things stocked. Like, everybody's already doing what people are coming here to learn to do. Right? If the grocery store shuts down tomorrow, they're just like, well, I guess we'll have to start making our own wine, because it's been ingrained in them to, like, know a lot of these things growing up. Like, why would you buy, and this is like, why would you buy eggs from the grocery store when you could have your own chickens? Why would we go all the way to the store? We can get them from the backyard. And they just simplify, and this is how they live their lives. And it's just, so when, you know, I tell the family over there, I'm a doomsday prepper, and we do this podcast, they're like, What are you doing? You don't need to do this stuff. You don't need to buy stuff. Just get chickens. Do this, do that, blah, 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 blah. So for her, it's like, with her family and stuff, it's just like, this is something unnecessary, you know? So it's really hard to get her on board with certain things. But I have to remind her, we live in America where everything is convenient, and convenience in America is, you know, inconvenience is the enemy. Inconvenience is the enemy, right? So, yeah. I don't know. That's what I got, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, but, you know, but there's some good lessons to take away from there, though, that is that you can't take for granted the fact that even though we live in a time of plenty and a time of convenience, I worry sometimes that plenty and that convenience is net harmful to us. Like, it's softened us up. It's taught us.
It is.
It has taught us to not be able to tolerate inconvenience or discomfort. It has taught us to not be able to emotionally cope with being uncomfortable. Like, I don't have a lot of those experiences because I was enlisted for 6 years. And you only have to spend so much time sleeping in a hole covered in bugs before you just kind of get over all that. But the average person has not had military experience. The average person hasn't spent a lot of time camping or living outdoors or swatting bugs off their butt. And it just gets that situation where it's like, I have to remind people all the time, I'm like, you have to understand that, like, the reason why most people freeze in place and wait for help is because they don't know how not to. That's what they've been raised and conditioned to do. They've been taught to expect someone is going to come by eventually and make your life better. And I go back to the idea of, like, Andrew, I think I got this from you, is to say, everybody's saying that, like, you are always your first responder. Always. Because when the emergency happens and it happens to you, you, at least you are there, and probably nobody else is, or no help has arrived yet.
Right.
So I always go back to this idea that before I'm going to spend 3 or 4 days waiting for FEMA or waiting for the parish to come by to clear the trees that are off my front lawn after a hurricane whacks us, and my wife and daughter are sitting inside stressed out because there's a tree in the front yard and there's a tree on the house, I'm going to get out there with my bow saw and my chainsaw and my freaking axe and my pole saw, and I'm going to start doing work. And I don't care if it takes me 2 days of backbreaking work. I don't care if I have to have family come in from out of town to help me do it. I'm going to be instrumental in my own survival and in showing my family that comfort is coming.
Right.
This is a temporary time. We're going to get through this. We're going to be just fine. But I think it is that spirit of, I'm going to pull up my sleeves and deal with this, that is really missing from the majority of the population. And if you have people that are near and dear to you that don't possess that natural instinct of gut it out and figure it out, you got to start doing some work to get their mindset twisted around a little bit, because they're going to be a major liability in an emergency.
Right. And, you know, just thinking on this, I mean, they are making us softer. They are taking us down. So remember when we were kids and you couldn't stand to be bored? You had to have something to do. And a lot of times when we were kids, it was go outside, tear shit up, play with stuff, you know, dig in the dirt, whatever. You were getting out there and you were experiencing things. Now when kids are bored, it's here. Have this phone, play on these apps. So they're getting fatter, they're getting lazier, they're not experiencing life. So when the boredness, when these devices shut off, when it's ultimate boredness and you have no skills or you're so used to convenience, what is society going to be like in 20 years of this shit that we're going through right now?
Well, I can't speak to society, but I can say that the day after Hurricane Ida friggin' dropped 3 trees on my house, my daughter flew a kite in the front yard. It was a little breezy. It was nice weather. Because, like, that's well, but that's the way me and her mother have raised her, is, you know, this is not available. There's no point complaining about it. Find a way to make your happiness. Find your way forward. Let's do something productive. And we walked outside in the front yard, and me and my wife are looking at all the trees and the mess. And my daughter's like, can I go get my kite? And I'm like, yes, you can go get your kite. And what did I do? I went and got the 10x10 pop-up tent from the camping gear and set it up in the front yard, got the jack, re-threw the solar panels out, started making some power so I'd have something to run a box fan that evening to keep us cool, started doing a little bit of the tree limbing and everything. I mean, that, and my wife started looking at, okay, well, obviously we gotta get a meal going and we gotta keep ourselves fed. Power's out, we still have gas, and she's assessing the situation in the house. And I'm like, this is what this family does, is when there's an emergency, we figure out what we have to do, and everybody finds a lane and goes.
And it's perfect, and a lot more people need to be that way. So we're about our time. We're gonna get out of here. What's the name of the podcast? I won't ask you where to find it again, but what is the name of it so everybody knows?
Okay, Matter of Facts Podcast, or MOF Podcast.
Gotcha, and the website's MOF.com?
MOFpodcast.com.
MOFpodcast.com. Guys, get on there, listen to this podcast, listen to Phil, listen to Andrew, not Andy. Thanks for coming on the show, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Having us.
Emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.